This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And did we swat the little gremlins? They were annoying the crap out of me yesterday.
Yeah, they had it out for you yesterday.
And sheesh.
You know, you gotta love the way technology operates, except for the fact that we are so heavily reliant on it now that you can't even go into a grocery store if the power's out and buy food with cash.
Yeah. No, you can't. It was really weird. And of course, we've been having weird weather, and there's all kinds of weather alerts and all kinds of stuff coming up. Kind of for Pacific Northwest, Inland Northwest, high winds, winter storms, snow. I knew it. It's like, I knew March was going to come back and go.
Well, but see, what's interesting about it is we've got kind of the high wind warnings. They're expecting a lot of rain for the next 48 hours or so.
Yeah.
But the problem is like right now, I saw a little clip before we went on that it is dumping snow at Snoqualmie Pass. I'm assuming it's dumping snow up at government camp and Snoqualmie Pass right now. But over the next few hours, the snow level is supposed to rise so much that at road level, it's going to be nothing but rain eventually. Yeah. So it's going to be a downpouring of rain, which if you know anything about the way the snowpack operates, it's actually bad for the snow because it's melting it as it's raining on it. It needs to be packed in with more snow.
Right. We need that water for spring and mostly for summer and everything else. So, yeah, and in inland, you know, the Lookout Pass and Lolo Pass and all the passes sort of Montana, Idaho, over to Washington, like you said, Snoqualmie, which is always a trip to go through when it's really snowy. But we do need that pack. But yeah, then the high winds. I hate the high winds. I'd rather have be dumped on with snow or rain or whatever. The winds freak me out. Mm-hmm. I don't like them. I'm already nervous about it.
Yeah, especially, you know, around here this time of the year, you get a very saturated ground and then some high winds.
Oh, I don't even want to think about it.
Okay, let's not. Let's move on.
Let's move on. Hey, today's National Dream Day. Let's dream of something. I have a dream that it'll be calm and it'll just snow and it'll be beautiful and there'll just be lovely lyrical jazz music playing in the background and we'll look at the birds and they'll eat the sunflowers. It'll just be beautiful. That's my dream.
That's right. That's a good dream. That's just
kind Isn't of that, a good dream?
That picturesque, you know, the what you see from snow-covered rooftops and just the you know, the snow on the trees and just the calm serenity of it all.
Or you can go, and I do this when I'm doing show prep and stuff because I can't listen to other people's shows because it's like, that's their opinion. So I put on these YouTube videos, these new AI YouTube videos that have like retro jazz in a smoky club or I'm in a little cafe and I'm listening to 1940s French jazz, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
See, there you go. Well, it's also World Plumbing Day.
Well, God bless that day. We all need good plumbing.
That's right. We've moved past the outhouse stage of development. We need the plumbing.
I actually still have an outhouse. I don't use it, but there is an outhouse on the property.
Oh yeah, we've had a family property for a number of years that there was an outhouse on it until a windstorm collapsed it.
Oh great. And now, see, here's the wind again.
Well, it was also what 50, 60 years old and rarely used and So it got removed and filled in, and now is a nice little pump house and storage area.
Well, there you go. I'm not a fan. I always think something's going to come up and go boop, and it's like, nope, not doing it. And this one is weird. It's Wash Your Nose Day. Is it like using a neti pot or something, like wash the inside of your nose? Because when you're sick, using a neti pot or like the Navage, where you're like running all the water through the nasal passages and everything. Those things they work.
They work. They're a little uncomfortable and
they're kind of gross.
They're kind of gross. Yeah. Oh yeah. Or is it just kind of wash the outside? Is it that, you know, because it's that time of the year where your nose is kind of constantly a little runny, getting chapped and chafed.
I don't know. Well, a little beef tallow moisturizer will do the trick then on that. It's great.
Maybe we need to reach out and figure out, you know, what is National Wash Your Nose Day?
I'll do some more research on that. I did want to mention, too, if you have, for those of you who haven't seen it, I know it was in theaters, the movie Melania. It hit Amazon Prime on the 9th, so 2 days ago. And The Mustache and I watched it. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Even The Mustache liked it. I don't think he liked the fashion girly bits. I kind of got into that just watching how her inaugural outfit came together and all the details. And it was like you really had to watch all of it. I love her. I just love her. I think we're so blessed to have this beautiful, elegant first lady. And I thought Melania was like 20 days in her life right around the second inauguration. It was a great movie. I really, really, I learned a lot. I loved it.
You know, from what I saw, the people that saw it really liked it. But of course, because the way society works now and everything has to be political, people had to do a little extra work to see it in theaters because, you know, there were full chains that wouldn't even run it, you know?
We thought about it. We have to drive a bit to get to a theater, so we knew we were going to wait. And I'm actually kind of glad. It's actually, if you have an Amazon Prime membership, it's included with your membership, which is cool. Yeah. I know, and a lot of people are, I'm like, how could you hate this woman? But there are people that hate this woman. And she's so likable and lovely.
Well, it must be because one, she's a woman, and two, because she's an immigrant, and
and she's married to bad orange
man. Well, I'm just sitting here going, aren't those the things that the side that actually hates her says we need to care more about is immigrants and women? But yet they're the ones that hate her.
Well, not if you have, if you're guilty of wrong thought. And she clearly is. I did see some clip from the Hose Beasts on The View. Joy Behar, whose name is ridiculous, joyless. How is Melania? Is she even a citizen? It's like, oh, she's lady. I don't know how anybody, I don't even know how we segue to The View, but Chicks on the Right had a tweet about it and I chimed in on it. Who watches these goblins sit around there and spew and spittle and scream and yell? The only saving grace was when Elizabeth Hasselbeck was on for a couple of days and made them all go, what? Mm-hmm. And shut them up because they didn't know how to answer her. She's like dropping facts on them.
Yeah, I saw somebody joking saying now that Jasmine Crockett has lost her, you know, bid for election, she might be joining the cast, or maybe CNN will just give her own show, you know, because that's what they do with these kinds of loud, obnoxious people.
Which Jasmine Crockett, the trust fund private school Jasmine Crockett, the hood Jasmine Crockett, which one? I don't know.
I'm sure it's going to be the hood. That would be much more entertaining than a well-spoken, you know, intelligent trust fund child.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, that to note what obviously she lost her primary in Texas. And so she sort of was gerrymandered out of her congressional seat. She thought she'd do for that. Tallarico, the dude who won, is far more radical and frightening than she is.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it might have been better to have her.
Well, and that's,
he's crazy.
Well, and that's the other part of it. I'm sitting there going, you knew what you had in Jasmine Crockett.
Yeah.
And I sit here and go, as much as she is kicking and screaming and blaming the white man and, you know, the Republicans for her loss, I'm sitting there going, the Republicans probably would have much preferred to have you as their opponent, knowing what you are and what you are about and being able to attack you that way rather than this guy who presents as, you know, a pastor and very well-spoken and very charismatic and moderate, who truly is extreme beyond belief. I mean, what, 8 genders is what he claims there are now?
Only six. And he wraps all of his ideology up in Christianity. And that's what's scary is you've got a lot of woke Christians, a lot of whom would probably, if you ask them, consider themselves conservatives, that buy into this stuff, the woke church, the toxic suicidal empathy. And so he's scary.
We'll see.
He couches himself in this cloak of, and I'm putting quotes around it, being a good Christian. And that's kind of frightening.
I know a lot of people that voted for Joe Biden, voted for Kamala Harris, that are, you know, God-loving Christian people. Mm-hmm. Simply on the guise that they have bought into 100% that Trump is the devil reincarnate, and they were going to vote that way. And I'm sitting there going, someone like this is going to energize that kind of person into voting for them no matter what.
Yeah. For a lot of people, their hatred of Trump, it sort of overrides their better judgment on what kind of a world do you want to leave your children and grandchildren? He's not running again. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see. So he's truly frightening, and he's a weird looking dude. And like I've said, he looks like Davy from Davy and Goliath, but with none of the morals and the good judgment. So, all right, let's take a break. We've got the deadline for filing for office has passed as of yesterday. So let's get a lay of the land and see who's running for what and see what seats have no Republican challengers. Let's talk about that, because that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
That's a big problem. Okay, you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill and Color Tile of Salem.
Alrighty, so yesterday was the deadline in Oregon to file for office. And it looks like, heavy sigh, there are 25 candidates for Oregon governor, 10 Democrats and 15 Republicans.
Okay. I will tell you right now, here's my prediction.
Okay.
You will hear about Tina Kotek is the only option for Democrat governor, and there's 15 to 20 on the Republican side.
Yeah.
They will include every name. I'm sitting there going through this list. I'm like, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six names that I recognize immediately, and everyone else, I'm kind of going, I might have heard of them in the past.
Well, okay, so I've got that up. So I'm not going to, you know, you're right. I'm not going to read them all. We do know in the Salem area, I think a lot of people might be familiar with David Beam. Mm-hmm. He has been an activist for special needs community. He's a lovely man. He runs for office a lot, but he's out there doing the work. He really is. He's not just like, I'm just going to jump in. He does this. I don't recognize any of the other names on there except for Kotek.
Yeah. No. Oh no. Yeah. That is it. So I very much suspect that, you know, like we saw last time, it was Tina Kotek or Tobias Reed. Those are the only two mentioned for Democrat governor last time around. And since Tina is now the incumbent, I fully suspect we will not hear another name on this list. We will not see a debate with anyone on this list on the Democrat side of things.
Yeah. And then, so you're right, on the Republican side, we've got, of course, Daniel Bethel, Chris Dudley, Christine Drazen, Ed Diehl, and David Medina, I think, are the top ones.
Yeah, I think that is the top five. There's a couple of names I recognize because they've run for other things.
I recognize a lot of names on here. Some of them are like, go away.
Yes.
Stop doing this.
But that's the thing is I see these things and we've already seen it to a certain extent where there's forums and debates and other things that will be set up across the state and it will include two or three or four of the top five candidates and then two or three or four or five or six or eight of the bottom five candidates.
Right. And you and I have talked about this back in 2022. We moderated the Timber Unity debate, and that was exactly what happened. There were a lot of people up on that stage that really should not have been up on that stage. And I get it. And I don't know whether, you know, and again, the party does not pick the candidates. Mm-mm. That's not what the party is there to do. They do not pick the candidates. They should be on the lookout for identifying, providing resources and education for people that want to step up. Really kind of, you know, here's a list. Well, maybe you're not ready for running for governor. Get your feet wet on a border commission in your city, you know, that kind of thing. I haven't seen anything from the ORP.
Oh, no.
At all.
Well,
have you? I don't think I have.
Well, I sit here and look at it. And in the state of Oregon, you know, we talk about federal elections are one thing.
Right.
But so much more is decided on the way Oregon operates, one at the state level and two down at your local level.
Yeah.
And there are 60 House seats in the Oregon leadership. And in one third of those, there is not even a Republican running. That is just, how is that even acceptable at this point?
As far as I'm concerned, it's not. And we've talked in the past about the 2010, I think it was 2010 strategy, where even though those Portland races, there's no chance or very slim to none chance of a Republican actually winning. But that doesn't mean somebody shouldn't file and make the Democrats spend some money and go out and defend their record. And I believe if I remember, and again, Bill Post, I know, has talked about this. Former Representative Bill Post, former talk show host on KYK, and Bill Post has talked about this during that session, and it was successful. I think it did bring in some other people. Plus, it made the left spend some money and defend their record, which is always a good thing. You get those people in there, you tell them you don't have a chance in winning. That's not what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
And you play it up front. And so you're right, and a lot of people are expressing sort of frustration that there aren't candidates running in these seats.
And to me, that's the thing. I'm sitting here going, so there's 60 seats in the Oregon House, And we have already, before a single vote has been cast, given up on 20 of them, including some where I'm seeing they're going, how is there not? One of them is Polk County.
Yeah.
How is there not someone running in Polk County for that House seat?
There has been every cycle for as long as I can remember. And we've had some great candidates running against it. Paul Evans is in that seat right now. Mm-hmm. Who is potentially, that is a winnable seat for the Republicans.
Yeah, so let's take those ones out of the mix and look at the rest. You're talking about 20 seats that have currently, thus far, probably been out raising money for the Democrat candidates, just in case. Well, now, what can they do with that money? Oh, they can send it down to one of the more hotly contested races where it could go either way, and now they have a lot more money to invest somewhere that was going to be a winnable seat for Republicans that enough money thrown that direction might flip it to the Democrat side. I'm sitting there going, at least if there was a Republican running in downtown Portland, at least you're threatening enough that they're not going to give up their money to someone else because they may need to spend it eventually.
Exactly. So it's all about strategery. And I'm seeing, you know, well, it's not just the party's responsibility. Well, sure, it is every Republican's, but, and that happens at the county level as well. And that's where, you know, your people, your PCPs, that's a great place to start, is your PCPs. Mm-hmm. These are people that run for a seat as a precinct committee person. And there's a certain number of men and certain number of women. It's a little archaic that, you know, it's just committee man, whatever. And that's where you start talking to people, and that's where you recruit people. Hey, this person, this man, or this woman is in the community doing a lot of great things. They'd be really good in this seat. And then you start working on that. But it kind of is like leadership, the leadership. And then at the top level, it trickles down and there are mechanisms and there's money, frankly, at that level to start pushing that message out. And honestly, before we went on the air, we were both trying to think, and I don't recall seeing too much of anything. I've seen from the Marion County GOP.
Yeah.
I have seen messaging from the Marion County, and that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, and then groups like Marion Polk First and others are out
there
making a lot of noise.
And recruitment.
But they're not at the state level. And if we are going to not necessarily correct course, but at least slow down the down spiral of Oregon, it needs to be at that state level where it's like, to me, it feels like the leadership has said, okay, we're not going to worry about these 20 seats. We're going to instead try and just break the supermajority. And I'm kind of like, yeah, but what good does that really do you besides you can put a halt to things like a massive gas tax?
Well, it's always a numbers game. And that's part of the problem. And you've got a number of people, and some of them operating within the confines of the Republican Party, kind of actively discouraging people just in the messaging about, you know, yeah, I hear about vote by mail and my vote doesn't count. And there, what disturbed me is on some candidates that are running for gubernatorial governor's office, that'll start in the threads on their post and there's no pushback from the candidate. Mm-hmm. At least vote. It doesn't count. Sure, it does. If it don't, do it anyway.
Yeah. I was always told, you know, growing up that if you don't vote, you can't complain. So at least vote so you can complain. Come on, do it that way.
You want to be able to complain. Yeah.
No, and that's...
It is frustrating.
Yeah, and I just sit here and I'm kind of going, so we've given up on 20 seats. We don't have that real name recognition. We floated that idea that came to us about Dudley possibly flipping over and running against Merkley. That didn't happen.
Well, that's an information gathering on that poll. Mm-hmm. And I checked on it today before we went on. I think it's got 1,066 or something responses. Kind of trying to see if there's a narrative. I don't see that happening.
No.
We had an interesting, it's sort of a good thought experiment to see. In fact, where is that race for? There it is. So that's the U.S. Senate race. Obviously, the incumbent is Merck. He's got a Democrat challenging him. Then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people running on the Republican side. None of them, according to me, maybe David Brock Smith, who is in the legislature currently. I recognize one other name who pops up every cycle. Other than that, I don't see this shifting. Yeah. I don't see a Republican winning this one.
No, and I just sit here and I'm kind of going, you know, the few that really caught my eye were, you know, at where there's not a Republican running. What was it? District 3 in for the U.S. House where Maxine Dexter has become a laughing stock. And yet there's two Democrats running against her in the primary, but no Republicans running, period. So if she gets through the primary, she just gets to punch her ticket back to D.C.
Yep. And off she goes with all her cringe and everything else. I mean, can you imagine what a fun campaign that would have been with all the cringeworthy sound bites and video and everything that this woman has? I mean, even if it's just for the entertainment factor to run against
her. You would think you could have found a stand-up comedian that wanted to really just perfect their act in running against her. I mean,
a couple of them are popping in my head right now that would have been great.
I mean, there's these seats that I'm going, why is no one running? I think the other one is the what's his name that bullied his, co-worker in about the gun bill. I think he's got a Democrat opposition in Bend, but I don't think he has a Republican running against him. What's his name?
Jeff Krupp.
Yeah.
Or not Jeff, something Krupp. Jason. Yeah. Jason Krupp.
Yeah. You know, he literally should be ousted for, intimidation and bullying. And yet there's no Republican stepping up to run against him.
And same thing with bully commissioner. I don't see anybody there. And then you've got the Senate and you've got, in some of these districts, there's nobody stepping up. So I see frustration. It doesn't matter now. It's a moot point now because the deadline has passed. And that really, to me, is a missed opportunity. And it's really a shame. Because it is a missed opportunity. Well, there are ways to strategically do this.
Yeah, and I wish there was more vocal leadership at the top screaming, saying we need to fill all of these positions to at least present an argument against them.
Yeah, and make them have to defend their records. Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Now let's come and talk about business exodus from Washington. It's happening. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Okay, so Washington State, ugh. And we're talking about Hold My Beer because we talked the other day about the law going through where, just some committee of bow ties with clipboards and an agenda can say, we don't like your sheriff. We're going to just, no, bye-bye.
Yeah, we don't like that he spoke out against us. It might be time for him to go.
He wants to uphold that pesky, old, dusty constitution. I talked about the Thurston County Sheriff Derek Sanders posting about that and now how that is very concerning. Well, now it's official. It's official. Our friend Brandy Cruz reporting on this. Washington, who was touted, one of the nice things about Washington is that there's no income tax. Oh, not anymore. Not anymore, Washington.
Oh, yeah. You got to be careful.
But is it just for millionaires and billionaires?
Well, today. And
is
that really what it's really about? I'm sitting there going, when you sit here and you talk income tax on millionaires, so people that are making over a million, and it wouldn't be on the first million. It's only on anything they make beyond $1 million. Okay. That's like, 50 people, 100 people?
Why do you need more than that?
We know that there's Bill Gates and there's a couple Nintendo people up there and a few others that,
it's like a handful, right?
They need to pay a lot more. No, the estimated numbers are between 20 and 30,000 people are included in this income bracket of making $1 million. And it even sounds like they kind of took out some of that ability to say, married filing jointly. So if you as a family are making it, you are going to get taxed on it.
Yeah. I know I have relatives that are in that bracket. Mm-hmm. So I'd be interesting to talk to them. Big news, of course, is the founder of Starbucks, Harold Schultz, announcing that he is leaving his longtime home of Seattle and moving to Florida. This as, again, like you said, Washington State Democrats ran through this brand new income tax. So the billionaire coffee mogul is ditching the Pacific Northwest. I'm hearing that he's going to Florida and then also going to be moving corporate to Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So this bugs me. This ticks me off because this dude is part of the reason why you've got a doom spiral, progressive crap going on in Seattle is because of this dude. So like a cockroach scurrying out of the state, he's going to go to Florida and Tennessee and infect those states. And I see why people in those states, people in red states, have about had it up to their eyeballs with these idiots. He should be made to stay there and live in the garbage that he has created in that state. But he won't, because he doesn't have to.
He's just following the leader, the former governor of Washington, the moment that he decided to not run for re-election, packed his bags and moved to Idaho. So,
ew.
I mean, and that's the thing, is Howard Schultz, if you know anything about the guy, he actually used to own the Seattle Supersonics. So he's the guy that sold the Sonics to the Oklahoma City guy that ended up moving them to Oklahoma. So there is no Sonics left in Seattle. So he's already like despised by any, you know, sports loving person in Seattle to begin with. And then, of course, you know, the founder and CEO of Starbucks for a long, long time, which Seattle being the coffee cap mecca of the United States. I mean, really.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, then I'm seeing, oh, they're just building an office in Nashville. They're not going to move there. Yes, they are. They're not going to. Why would they build an office in Nashville, Tennessee, of all places, if they didn't plan on relocating their corporate offices and taking that money out of the Seattle market?
Yeah, I like this. Kind of likening them, they're ideological locusts. So they go in, they devour everything, they take everything that is good, they suck the life out of a city or a state with these progressive policies. You see, the same thing is happening, if you let it, in Salem, and it's obviously happened in Portland and Oregon, is in a doom spiral. And then they go, oh my gosh, this is just intolerable. I need to get out. I just can't live here. It's too expensive. And again, so they fly up like locusts, and they go to the next state and they devour everything over there. And so it is. It's maddening as all get out. Who did I see? I think it was Nick Freitas. And this is the tactic that I think, and the way that red states should deal with this, make your state intolerable to them. Mm-hmm. And that comes through legislation, which is why you see these locusts and these political operatives targeting red states, because they're trying to get rhinos in there and they're trying to get people in there so that they make it nice and comfortable. And it's a nice quagmire for the locusts to go to because it feels like home.
Well, it makes me sit here and go, because we've brought it up a little bit, where you had these kind of generations that they got theirs, and now they're okay with making it real difficult for others to get theirs as well. And these are the kinds of people that do this. They're the ultra wealthy, the ones that donate to every liberal cause you can come up with, that are the ones that are able to literally just sit there and say, oh, well, I got everyone in place I wanted here, so now I'm just going to go over here and do the same thing. And it's like, we need to find ways to keep that from happening. And it really, it's taking everyone at the grassroots level to voting, because, you know, theoretically, these millionaires, billionaires only have one vote.
Correct. But they, like you said, they donate to causes they affect. They donate to the NGOs that come in, and it's basically this big money laundering scheme. And so you've got the average person. I mean, just let's switch gears and go over to New York City and see what's happening in New York City with Commie Mamdani promising everything. And the same thing happened in Virginia with Spamberger. I'm a moderate. Mm-hmm. I'm a moderate. I'm just going to go in and we're going to be moderate. And then the second they're elected, it's like, no, I'm not. Ha ha, face. And then they go in and they do every left-wing, crazy, ridiculous, stupid thing that they wanted to do anyway. And then everyone who's a millionaire or a billionaire goes, well, I'm out. And it's left to the average person who then, of course, when that layer of millionaires goes away, you know, that tax, it just goes cha-chunk right down one more level to you.
Yeah. Well, and see, I'm sitting here going, you know, we talk about how Oregon is the petri dish of crazy policies. Yep. I'm starting to wonder now, with 30%+ of storefronts being empty in Portland, our count of the ultra rich is dwindling drastically because of Oregon policies, that they've taken that focus and moved it a little bit north, because they're still between places like Boeing and Nintendo and Microsoft and Starbucks and other major companies in that Seattle market.
For now,
they're able to go and let's try the next round of them in Washington, because that's what it feels like a little bit. The sick part of all of this is, if this works in Washington, it's coming here. We talked about it with the removing of the sheriffs. Oregon will adopt that real fast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
But even this one, I'm sitting here going, if this is even slightly successful in Washington state, taxing these millionaires, you don't think that Oregon's going to adopt a millionaire tax as well?
Oh, yeah. And in the short term, it may be. And of course, they're good at marketing and they're good at spin to make you think that, see, look at this inflow. Then we're going to do free daycare, like they're going to do free government funded daycare in New York. How do you think that's going to work? How many leering centers are going to show up in Queens?
Well, yeah.
A lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I just sit here and I go, you know, growing up in the Seattle area, they already took out. So the 405 freeway through the east side, Bellevue and Kirkland and Redmond and area over there. It's always been a disaster freeway because of environmental issues. They can't expand the concrete wider. So there's nearly as many people drive that 405 as do I-5 every day. But I-5 is gigantic. It's at least three times the size of the 405 freeway. Mm-hmm. Okay. The saving grace for, you know, when I lived there was they had a carpool lane the whole length of the freeway. So if you had a friend with you, you got to just shoot that carpool lane the whole way. Well, you know what they've done to accommodate Microsoft and other businesses in Redmond? They took out the carpool lane and created two pay lanes. So now, you know, you get, you know, traffic variable pricing anywhere from 10 cents to $10, which has now taken all this traffic that would normally be in the carpool lane, pushed it back into the regular traffic. And now only the uber rich that can afford 10 bucks a drive.
Yeah,
are cruising
so their
those
life
lanes.
Is easier. Mm-hmm. Their life is easier. If you can afford it, your life is easier. So really, how is this about the poor and the downtrodden? Because the very thing that they say that it's going to help, it just screws them and makes their life ridiculously difficult.
It never is. And it's
but yet
it's,
they keep voting for this stuff.
Well, it's convincing them. And how are they riding this millionaire's tax? Well, we're going to take some of that money. It's all going to go into the general fund, which is a disaster, but it's, you know,
fungible.
Yeah. But now we're gonna be able to give rebates to the poor people of about $1,300 a family.
Okay. So you're gonna give me back my own money. Thanks.
I doubt they're even collecting taxes from a lot of the people they're gonna give that money to. So they're just giving the rich person's money to those people so that they don't kick and scream and go, you gave us nothing, but you promised us the world.
You know, in the bottom line with all of this, I don't know. Once those things are in place, I don't know. Does New York come back from this? I don't think so. Does Seattle and Washington and Oregon and California come back from this? Maybe in a generation or two?
Yeah. And that's the problem is once you've created every handout system you can, there's no motivation for people to give up the handout system because now they're going to struggle. And without a way of easing the burden, which is, you know, constantly the complaint about the Republicans, well, you don't have a solution if you take away Obamacare.
Right.
I'm going, we managed without it before. We can do it again. It's just going to take people being, you know, doing the hard work. Granted, because they've had it so easy, they don't want to.
And that kind of brings me to this next point, which is really it's going to be hard for conservatives to beat Democrats, progressive, communists, Marxists, socialists, whatevers, if we can't rout out the rhinos in our own party, especially in red states where you don't necessarily run as a Democrat. You run as a Republican and then oopsie, it's like magic.
Yeah.
It's like Abigail Spanberger in Virginia, but she ran as a Democrat. But in red states, you can't win as a Democrat. So you run but you're a rhino. You've got to root those out. I don't know that the Republicans have the spine to do that. Do they? Look what's happening at the federal level with Thune and everything. Just to pass the SAVE Act, something that 80, 85, 90% of the country wants, and they don't have the spine to do it.
Yeah, and that tells you what the real big challenges with everything are, is there's an established class of politician that if they, whether Republican, Democrat, anything, if they give the people what they truly want, they lose power and they don't want that.
And I've noticed this too, because, you know, I've been politically active for a very, very long time. People start out with the best intentions and they really want to go in. They go in with a servant's heart and you'll meet them in a couple of years after they've been in for a while. And that entitled attitude, and it's certainly not everybody, but I was at a political event last weekend and these are, you know, they're not state, they're just local and it's still there. Mm-hmm. I am somebody. I am a big deal. Unit. I don't know if I can talk. I'll talk to you until that guy comes along and he can do me more than you can. It's just gross. Mm-hmm. It's gross. And it happens at every level. And so I think in the conservative side, the Republican side, you got to root out the rhinos. You got to get them out. But I don't know if there's the stomach for that. I just don't know. I don't know. But we have to.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, it all starts with the SAVE Act when we can
get
to the point where we feel confident in our elections. If the SAVE Act passes and Oregon elects, you know, a Democrat governor in an overwhelming way and supermajority and everything else, at that point, at least you can sit there and say, okay, we give up, you know?
Yeah. But there's a lot of work to do. And the stakes are very, very high. They're mm-hmm. very, very high. And so I think everybody at every level, if you're concerned about your community, your state, your country, you need to get up off the couch, get out from behind the keyboard and get involved mm-hmm. in whatever way you can, even if it's just, you know, making phone calls or sending letters or whatever, or talking to three people in your own personal network and say, get out there and vote. So, all right, let's go ahead and take our last break. We'll switch gears a little bit. You know Gene Simmons, right? The guy with the tongue from Kiss.
That's right.
I'm starting to see a little shift culturally where people are going to get fed up from celebrities telling people what to do. So let's come back and talk about that because he made a statement. Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care in Cozy's New York Deli.
Okay, so before we jump into what Gene Simmons is saying out there, you did make a comment that there was a comment on one of the threads we were looking at, and this is kind of ties into people who how do you get your information, and if you get it from celebrities, sorry, but we'll dig into that. But this comment, and we were trying to think, is this person serious?
Yeah, it's kind of along the lines of, you know, I grew up Republican. I don't really believe either party is serving, you know, the needs of the people.
Which I can agree with.
Yeah, I'll agree with all that. I'm not going to fight that one. But then I sit there and go, but I think that we need a few terms of a Democrat majority who can vote against hate and tyranny.
What? And she lives in Oregon?
Wait, how many is a few years? Because this is what we need to understand. In your mind, what is a few? Is it 50, 60? Well, I mean, come on.
Or I'm like, did you just get here?
Yeah. Did you just wake up? Have you been in a fentanyl coma for a while? I mean, what's the story?
Maybe it was a typo and she meant Republican. I don't know.
I don't think, not just the way she worded it. I'm just sitting here she means it, and she is that oblivious to the fact that Democrats have had the majority and the governorship and every state level set for 40 years.
Well, maybe her political opinions are informed by celebrities. And we've talked about this a lot. There's a couple, not enough, that are kind of realizing kind of what I have to say really doesn't make any difference and nobody really cares. And so Gene Simmons, I want to put a caveat here. He was a jerk during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he's moderated. He was a toad. And I did not appreciate his whole stance. I mean, he was right up there with Schwarzenegger and all the other ones, you know.
Which makes me wonder a little bit if a lesson was learned.
Maybe. So he's come out and said, Ollie London TV tweeted this. Gene Simmons says celebrities like Ben Stiller, and we'll talk about what Ben Stiller is doing, basically shut the F up about politics. Do your art and shut up. Nobody is interested in your opinions. Who the F do you think you are?
Mm-hmm. Way to censor it. But yeah, I just...
Of course.
I think we've been screaming that from the hilltops, whether it's Ben Stiller or Billie Eilish or anybody else. And I'll even say both sides of the aisle. I think the Republican or the conservative people of Hollywood tend to be a lot more entertaining when they comment out politically. But
I like myself some James Woods and Nick mm-hmm. Searcy.
Well, like I said, is they're entertaining and they point out some things that really tick off the other side. And every time they do it, they're actually risking their careers.
They are risking their careers. In fact, James Woods has come out very much and said when he basically came out, because that kind of coming out actually takes bravery. That's stunning and brave. Mm-hmm. Pretty much lost his career. And a lot of other conservatives, I think Kelsey Grammer is another one. They are actually risking something. These little dingbats, Ben Stiller is not risking a thing when he tweets out that Trump shouldn't use a scene from Tropic Thunder because war is not a movie, when literally Tropic Thunder is a movie about people who are in a fake war. They don't know they are.
The whole premise of that movie was they were making a war movie, a fake war, and ended up in a real conflict.
In a real war.
Yeah.
Of course. And then, of course, Robert Downey Jr. is in blackface in that movie as well. And so there's all kinds of stuff. Now, I like Ben Stiller. I'm a fan of a lot of his movies. I don't care what Ben Stiller thinks about politics. One bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, my politics are not informed by any. Mark Ruffalo, shut up and act. I don't care what Mark Ruffalo thinks about anything.
I just sit there and go, that Tropic Thunder movie
It was funny.
It was funny, but it also, I mean, literally between Robert Downey Jr.'s in blackface and the you don't ever go full retard line. I mean, I'm just sitting here going, there were so many offensive things in that movie. It's almost like, you know,
well,
those guys. Almost like those guys that did The Man Show telling us how we should behave.
Now, that was Adam Carolla and, Jimmy Kimmel.
Uh-huh.
I remember The Man Show. Remember Girls on Trampolines?
Oh, that was
the
episode segment. Come on.
Everything started with the girls. They were in Catholic schoolgirl uniforms jumping on trampolines. Mm-hmm. So Jimmy Kimmel can spare me his tears about people that he doesn't give two craps about, because he doesn't. He's just using them for whatever. So all these people are disingenuous. A lot of them, you know, I don't know what their intelligence level is. Again, they pretend for a living. They read other people's brilliant words. You wouldn't have Hollywood without the brilliant words. And then there's a lot of people chiming in on this. Never forget what they said. And you're looking at Don Lemon, Jimmy Kimmel, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Piers Morgan is out in the news again. Mm-hmm. Ew. What's his name? Howard Stern.
Yeah.
You know, these guys who used to be edgy and actually pushing the envelope back in the day. Howard Stern basically is hiding in his apartment covered in Purell because he's still terrified of COVID. I'm just,
that's the thing to me. It's there's a reason that when there was a writer's strike, Hollywood shut down.
Yep.
If the actors had the ability to create what they do without those writers, then they would have done that. They would have, you know, those would have been the big hit movies when everything else was dead silent.
And I think, you know, honestly, Hollywood, your days are numbered. And I don't like that this is a fact. I've been a fan. I love film. I love movies. I love music. I love it all. I love creative people. I consider myself, I have a little bit of that in me, a little bit. I come from a very creative family. I know that creative people tend to skew left. I get that. But you've got, with AI and everything else coming in, and I've seen a lot of AI, and while it's still not great, I can see where we're not going to have a need for Mark Ruffalo anymore as the Hulk. Mm-hmm. Everything will just be CGI, Mark. Then what are you going to do? Maybe temper it. Maybe shut your mouth. Maybe, you know, talk about your politics at the cocktail party with your friends who feel the same way you do. I don't need to hear about it.
Yeah, we don't need to, you know, literally listen to these celebrities tell us how we need to think. There was a time and a place when they had a lot of power, and you had people like Michael Jordan come out and pretty much say, you know, no one really wants to know what my politics are. I'm not, you know, I'm not getting involved. I'm not endorsing someone.
Republicans buy sneakers too.
Yeah. It's Hollywood is about the dollar at the end of the day. Pro sports, music, all about the money.
Here we are now. Entertain us.
Yeah. And when these people want to make it all about their political point of view, eventually that really starts to negatively affect the bottom line. And we see it with companies. They go woke marketing and they kind of quickly try and pull it back in, a lot of times unsuccessfully.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if more people kind of jumping on with Gene Simmons. I mean, he's pretty bold. Again, he was a jerk about COVID, but I agree with him on this one. He's right.
Well, and that's the message that needs to be out there, that an actor or a musician or a celebrity is not someone that you need to, they don't live your life. They cannot relate to you in any way.
And do your art. We love your art. Do it. It's great. You live in the freest country to do it, and do it well. All right. Grant over. Thanks for the gremlins for staying away. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We will see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.